From Cambridge 105, this is Election Studio.
Labour have added two seats on Cambridge City Council in what's otherwise been a miserable election night. The party faces being pushed into third place in the vote for the Scottish Parliament. Good morning, I'm Julian Clover. Welcome to the Election Studio. Labour's Mike Sargent has gained West Chesterton from the Lib Dems, and Sophie Barnett was elected in Romsey, taking the seat from long-standing Lib Dem Catherine Smart. In Market Ward, Lib Dem leader Tim Bick kept his seat by 60 votes from the second-placed Labour. Stuart Tuckwood for the Greens, who gained a market seat in the 2015 vote, was a distant third. It was also a big Lib Dem win in Trumpington, Don Adey beating the city's only Conservative councillor, Shapour Meftar, into third place. Labour finished the night on 26 seats, up 2, the Lib Dems on 13, down 1, and there's 2 independents. The City Council now has the largest Labour group since 1973. Results from South Cambridgeshire should be around in the next hour or so. Counting began at 8 a.m. this morning, and the Police and Crime Commissioner result is due in this afternoon. Nationally, Labour is on course to finish third in the elections for the Scottish Parliament in a grim night that also saw it lose council seats in England. The SNP will claim a third consecutive win at Holyrood, with leader Nicola Sturgeon describing Labour's collapse as quite staggering. The Conservatives are pushing to finish second in Scotland. The Labour result was much more stable in Wales, though. The Tories have picked up council seats elsewhere in England, as have the Liberal Democrats and the UKIP. Votes in Northern Ireland and for the London Mayor, as well as the Cambridgeshire Police and Crime Commissioner, will be counted later. Now, though, with the rest of the news, here's Linda Ness.
More communities are being forced to evacuate their homes because of a massive wildfire in the Canadian province of Alberta. About 88,000 people have already had to leave Fort McMurray. An estimated 1,600 homes and other buildings have been destroyed in the city. The Foreign Secretary, Philip Hammond, says he's horrified by reports of an airstrike at a refugee camp in northern Syria, which killed at least 28 people. More than 80 people were injured in the airstrike, among them women and children. Sigourney Weaver has been in Cambridge this week talking at the Cambridge Union. The American movie star told the students that she was frustrated about the lack of progress made in slowing down climate change and told them they were the generation who were going to have to save the planet. Millions of British people with valid passports are being warned they'll be turned away from the United States following a security clampdown. It's because the American government's ordered UK visitors must have electronic chips in their passport. And finally, the cows are back on Midsummer Common. Nothing unusual about that, but these cows have a lot to say for themselves, and they're doing so through their own Twitter account, at Daisy Bullocks. Their comments on the local elections? We're voting green, as we like the grass. That's the latest. I'm Linda Ness.
And the weather for Cambridge remaining dry with some good sunny spells, although high cloud will make sunshine rather hazy at times. Very warm inland, but an onshore breeze will keep many coastal areas cooler. Maximum temperature in Cambridge of 22 degrees Celsius. That's very good cow weather. Tonight, all areas staying dry with some clear spells, not as cool as on recent nights, with light east or northeast winds prevailing and a minimum temperature of 9 degrees Celsius.
From Cambridge 105, this is Election Studio.
Snap, and I've got the power at Cambridge 105's 8 minutes past 9 o'clock, and this is the Election Studio between now and 10 o'clock when Lee Chambers is in for mid-morning. So no 105 today. Today, that will be back on Monday morning. And I'm pleased to welcome to the Election Studio Colin Rosensteel. For many years was an elected councillor for the Lib Dems. Also here, though, because he's a wonderful election archivist. I think that's the best description. Do you agree with that little title, Colin?
I certainly tried to keep the records and the history so that people can find it out for themselves.
Yeah, because you've been keeper. How far back do your records go?
The present boundary of the city, believe it or not, was set in 1935, and there was an election for the whole council that year, so I went back there. Originally I went back to the war, end of the war, because there were a number of disruptions when there weren't elections during the war, but I've now gone back to that time when It was a completely different era, of course, to today.
A lot different. And we'll go through the various seats, district by district, ward by ward, in a short while's time. But I wonder, first of all, what your overall view is. It's more seats for Labour, a few less for the Lib Dems, but significantly we now have a city council with no Conservative seats whatsoever.
Yeah, the Tories have been wiped out again. It's actually happened before in 2000, in the 2000s a couple of times. But I think the headline news is the increase in the Labour vote overall, which is an impressive share. I think it's a record for recent times, accompanied by the lowest ever vote for the Tories. The Lib Dem vote, actually, is almost the same as last year.
Why is it, though? Because when we're reading and looking at the national picture, certainly Scotland, and to a lesser extent in England, Labour are losing seats, the Conservatives, and the Lib Dems are gaining them. And Cambridge is almost the mirror image of all of that.
Cambridge, yeah. I mean, I came to Cambridge in 1968 as a student, and the Tories dominated the council at that time and for some years afterwards. Labour had never had a majority on the council until the reorganisation election of 1973, which I was also elected in. And I've often said I think that somebody could get a PhD of working out where all those Tory votes went.
Because this
was
a question that Neil was asking on 105 Breakfast a little earlier on, which is simply, why doesn't Cambridge vote for the Conservatives, in greater numbers?
The problem is, in trying to work this out, is this has not happened suddenly. It's been going on and on for years and years with a few minor blips. I mean, they won two seats in 2002, which was their best recent year. It's 14 years ago. It's a long time ago now. But their decline was strong before then, and it has continued since. And now, with just 11% of the vote, this is quite... 11.8%, not quite 12. It's quite extraordinary that to be so low. I think the other loser is the Greens, who had a peak last year and are now back below where they were for 3 or 4 years ago.
Do you think the Greens got overexcited about that win in Market Ward last year? Because it was only by four votes, and a handful again of votes, I think it was, between first and third place.
The Market last year was the closest three-way tie ever, with the Greens 7 votes ahead of Labour, who were 6 votes ahead of the Lib Dem. It was a bit of a car crash locally in Market that year, and it's Tim Baker's a very strong candidate who's brought the Lib Dem vote back together again, I think.
But only by 60 votes. In the Labour were challenging him quite heavy. There seemed to be a good Labour candidate as well.
Market's generally not built up large majorities because it has such enormous turnover of the electorate. Over half of the voters in the ward are students. The new registration system, individual electoral registration, has caused complete chaos with the electorate because students have to sign up individually to get votes. A lot of them don't bother because they have votes at home and don't realise that if home isn't in Cambridgeshire, for example, they could vote in both this year. And so exactly who's a voter has become even harder. And they're harder to find because students do actually spend most of their time studying these days rather than a few indulge in politics, but the rare majority don't.
OK, Colin, well, thank you very much for the time being. Throughout the night, Matt Webb has been there with the matchsticks at the Guildhall, watching the count. He's been speaking to various people there, amongst them the wonderful Phil Rogers, a Lib Dem activist, also a blogger, and he's been giving Matt his reaction.
Well, it's a bit of a mixed bag for the Lib Dems. I think Labour are probably most pleased with the evening overall. They've racked up some pretty solid wins, and they've held on to a number of their target wards. Lib Dems have gained Trumpington from the Conservatives, who really put in quite a poor showing, but struggling in one or two other places. We've still got a few results to come, but we'll have to see how those turn out.
You must be pretty pleased about Market Ward in particular.
Yes, I mean, I think the Greens were always going to struggle in a non-general election year to get their vote out to quite the same extent, and so it's proved. But Tim Bick coming home by 60 votes, we're very happy with that.
And when it comes to people who come out to vote at local elections. Do you think the national picture encourages them to sort of have their say about some of the issues that are happening, and they tend to sort of take that out on local councillors and local politicians?
I think that does happen to some extent. Certainly on the doorstep you do get people bringing up national issues, but also particularly in Cambridge, where people are generally quite engaged and interested, or at least those who turn out are, they also pay attention to, you know, how much work the candidates have done in the ward, and whether the councillor has been a good representative, and so on.
And one of the other wards, which was pretty safe, was the Abbey ward, Richard Johnson there.
Yes, he was always going to get back fairly comfortably, I think, and racked up the large majority that most, pretty much everyone was expecting.
It's interesting there, though, because a couple of years ago, the Greens were in contention.
That's right, and they've really moved their focus to market now. They were hit pretty hard by the defection of Adam Pogonoski, who was their councillor in Abbey, to Labour, and never really recovered from that in the ward.
And very quickly, the Police and Crime Commissioner elections happen tomorrow. Any predictions there? Who do you think might get in?
Well, I think the Conservative is really the candidate to beat, though I was just having an interesting chat with Dave Bagent, who is ever the optimist.
Excellent stuff. Phil Rogers, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Matt Webb speaking. Phil Rogers overnight at the Guildhall. Of course, all of the Cambridge City Council elections are now in, and the count underway at Camborne for South Cambridgeshire. We'll return to the local story in a few moments, but first of all, we've got some breaking news. We have the results of the Scottish Parliament elections, and the SNP, a commanding victory for them, 63 seats. The Conservatives are on 31, ahead of Labour on 24. The Lib Dems have 5 there, others listed as 6. We'll try and get a little bit of detail on that for you before the end of the programme. One of my favourite Cambridge stats is that the largest group of people in Cambridge after the English is indeed the Scottish. So we'll see that if we can get hold of a Sky News correspondent to give some detail on that. Let me quickly, though, go through ward by ward, just ever so quickly, really, on this one. We'll come to it in more detail after the travel and another piece of music. But Abbey Ward, Richard Johnson there, winning for Labour and Cooperative. Arbury, Mike Todd Jones, Labour and Cooperative. Colin, what's the difference between Labour and Cooperative and just plain Labour?
In practical terms, outside internal party arrangements, frankly, I think it's nil. And that is why I don't attempt to make the distinction. They're all Labour candidates. The Cooperative Party exists. It works only with the Labour Party, so it's a sort of adjunct. And some of the candidates are sponsored by them as well. What that means in terms of what the representative, because they're MPs on that label as well, does in as a representative is not clear to me, frankly. And I'm not sure the public would notice either.
Yeah, OK, I just thought I'd throw that in. I should have got you here to ask. through the other results then, Castle, John Hipkin, former mayor of Cambridge, of course, independent these days. Cherry Hinton is Robert Dryden, the mayor of Cambridge for Labour. He's going to be in with Steffi Callister this afternoon around 2:30, assuming he's still awake. Coleridge, Rosie Moore for Labour. East Chesterton was Marjorie Abbott for Labour. King's Hedges, Nigel Gawthorpe for Labour. Market, we were hearing that discussed both by Phil and by Colin for the Lib Dems. It's Tim Bick. Newnham, Lucy Neffensinger for the Lib Dems. That means she's representing both city and county there. Petersfield, Richard Robertson for Labour. Queen Edith's, it was a win for the Lib Dem, Jennifer Page Croft. Romsey, Sophie Barnett is coming in this afternoon to join me on 105 Drive at 4:30. Trumpington, Donald Adey, or Don Adey, for the Lib Dems. That was the seat, of course, where we did have a Conservative. He was knocked into third place. And finally, West Chesterton, Mike Sargent for Labour. I always get muddled up with the former BBC political correspondent and the son, indeed, of the other BBC political correspondent, John Sargent. Completely different fellow for West Chesterton there. So we'll take a bit of music, and when we come back, we'll give you some travel, and then we'll go through ward by ward with Colin and take a look at what's been happening overnight. See, there was a turnout of more than 20%. In fact, way up at 40, which is not bad for a local election, really. So we've switched to our election playlist, and the winner takes it all from ABBA. More from that in a short while's time. Also be hearing from my guest, Colin Rosensteel, and also the thoughts of Cambridge MP Daniel Zeichner.
Cambridge 105 Travel with Wizpar, the social media and messaging app where you're in control.
At 23 minutes after 9. At the A14 going westbound, we've got one lane closed and queuing traffic. There's been a serious accident between the Rowley Mile services and Junction 36. That's 9 Mile Hill. Congestion at the moment is on the A14 back to Junction 38, so the A11. Several vehicles involved, including a van and a motorbike. Accident happened around about 10 to 8. Road was closed for a time. Just one lane now remains closed for recovery and clean-up. All emergency services, including the air ambulance, have been in attendance. Eastbound, there is slow traffic as people slow down to look at that accident. Ran through Junction 38 for the A11. And also queuing traffic on the A142 in Newmarket southbound between the A14 at Junction 37, so the Exning Soham turnoff, and the A1304 Bury Road. That's because of those problems on the A14. Also on the A1304 this time, there's queuing traffic between the A14 Junction 38, the A11 and the A142. That's the old station road, Exeter Road. Again, because of those problems on the A14. Around the city, actually quite good this morning, I'm pleased to say. People may be taking to their bicycles in the sunny weather. There's no problems on the trains or the planes. Cambridge 105 Travel, where we'll update you again at 20 to 10.
Cambridge 105 Travel with Wizpar, the social media and messaging app. For more details and a free account, visit wizpar.com. This is 105 Today.
Busy week, hectic Saturday. Why not tune in to the Sunday Breakfast Show from 8 a.m? Join me, Phil Rowe, to start the day with some relaxing tunes. Challenge the little grey cells with the now legendary Cambridge Quiz. Hear what's going on locally, nationally and internationally with our newspaper reviewer from our area. And listen to interviews with local people to find out what's happening in your local community. The Sunday Breakfast Show, a great way to start your day here on Community Radio in your city, Cambridge 105.
Hi, Susie Perry here. Things I love. Cars, tick. Gadgets for cars, tick. Digital radio, tick. With more digital radios and adapters now available, there's never been a better time to upgrade to digital radio. Any car can be converted, and if you're buying a car radio, look for the digital radio tick. It means you'll get all your available stations.
To find out how to get digital radio in your car, visit your local car dealer, car accessory retailer, or Halfords.
If you love radio, go digital.
Do you have a floor in your house that's cold and drafty? Don't put up with it anymore. Let us cure it instantly with Retrovive Floor Insulation. Retrovive blocks out the icy drafts that blow beneath your feet and up into your house. It's quick and easy to do. We can insulate a room in just a single day, making it much, much cozier. And our customers tell us they save up to 43% on their heating. We're a Cambridge company, so go to retrovive.com and call your friendly local team today. Give yourself the joy of a lovely, warm home. Retrovive, making old houses warm.
From Cambridge 105, this is Election Studio.
And we're with you through until 10 o'clock this morning. We'll go through the results in Cambridge now, area by area. We start off, we'll do it alphabetically, Richard Johnson in Abbey, an overwhelming victory for him, 61% of the vote. Second was the Green Party, Monica Hone on 14%. Nikki Shepherd for the Liberal Democrats. She can get back to Cambridge Style Week now, 13%, just behind Labour. And Angela Ozturk for the Conservatives with 11%. Colin, that was a walkover from the start for Richard, wasn't it?
Labour have only been challenged there when their general position has been in its deepest gloom, and only when one party, the Greens as it happens, was able to concentrate their fire on them over extended period in the last decade.
And the three other parties pretty much bunched together there as well, which is interesting in itself, I suppose.
It's interesting that the Lib Dem vote is holding up in wards like that, because there was no effort made to campaign by anybody other than Labour locally. My daughter lives in Abbey, so I've been seeing the literature coming through the doors, and Labour's had a monopoly.
Right, well, Richard has been speaking to our reporter, Matt Webb.
It was a very good victory. I was very pleased with it. Very pleased to be re-elected. I think it's a show of confidence in the policies that the City Council, the Labour City Council, have put in place over the last couple of years. And I think that's not just been shown in Abbey Ward, but across the city as well. A tremendous set of results for Labour.
Now, about 4, 5, 6 years ago, the Greens were contesting your seat.
That's right. They won in 2008, 2009, 2010. But we learned from that setback. And we worked extremely hard to regain the trust of people in Abbey. And, you know, it didn't help that it was the fag end of the last Labour government, and the national unpopularity probably played some element in that. But I think, you know, we worked very hard to regain support. And again, as I said, that's a testament to the policies that we put in place as a city council and the amount of hard work that we've made. Yeah.
Congratulations, Richard. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Richard Johnson underlining, really, some of the points there, which was made by Colin here. Let's move on to Arbury. Mike Todd Jones, the victor there for Labour and Cooperative, 62% of the vote. Tim Ward for the Lib Dems on 16%. James Strachan for the Conservatives, 12%. And Stephen Lawrence for the Greens on 11%. Colin, that's another Labour walkover, really, that one, isn't it?
It's a Mike Todd Jones walkover as well, actually. Mike is extraordinarily strong in Arbury compared to all his party colleagues, and it is a tribute to the work he does there and his personal popularity. The other candidates, James Strachan has now taken the record for the record number of times anybody's been a candidate for the City Council, overtaken that of the late Margaret Wright of the Greens.
Without being elected, presumably.
As well. No, oddly enough, James was elected at the first attempt, but that was
really?
As far as it ever got.
Oh, dear. Oh, poor James, I'm sorry.
So Margaret had to wait to her 20th attempt, but he did it the first time and has been learning how to lose in everywhere else in the city ever since.
Oh, dear. Castle. Now, this is quite an interesting one because the winner is John Hipkin, these days an independent, and 38% of the vote got him elected. Patrick Scheel for Labour, 27%. Mark Argent for Lib Dems on 19%. Alicia Gent for the Green Party on 9%. And Edward McNaghton for the Conservatives on 6%. Now, John's political colours have changed a little bit over the years, haven't they, Colin?
When I first knew John, he was in the Labour Party as a Labour councillor in Romsey for a time. But he does have an extraordinary pulling power. This is a very odd ward at Castle. Half of it are students, which I think probably explains why Labour were the challengers there. But when John doesn't stand, the Lib Dems win fairly comfortably, as they did last year. And the other independent councillor is his wife, Mary Louise Holland, who had a narrower fight against the Lib Dems in 2014. It's chalk and cheese as an area, and I think the consequence of IER and the university drawing on into itself more these days is that the student participation is quite low. But until I see more details, I won't know if that's speculation or actually based on
something. And that John is going to be, I think, in his mid-80s by the time this term ends. That's quite a good standing as well.
I think that's a tribute to his youthful character, actually, because I know 60-year-olds who look older than John.
Next one is Cherry Hinton, where that's quite an interesting one because we've got the Mayor of Cambridge, Robert Dryden, who is the re-elected Labour councillor there. And he got 61% of the vote. Again, another big win for Labour. Eric Barrett-Payton for the Conservatives, 16%. Jamie Dazil, Lib Dems on 9%. Richard Jeffs for the UK United Kingdom Independence Party. That's the first showing of UKIP in our alphabetical look. Only 7%, though, but beating Kathleen Patterson of the Greens just by whisker, 6%, between how many votes between the two of those? 23 votes between the UKIP and Greens. But really, it's another Labour story, isn't it?
This has, again, everything going for Labour that could. Robert Dryden's the last survivor of the people who came top of the poll in 2004 when the whole council was up elected together, I've just noticed, and which means that he has a pull above that of his Labour running mates, and it shows in this result. It's also, Cherington's a little bit semi-detached from the city at times. Its politics have been a bit different. The Tories have done quite well here in the past. The 16% is pretty poor for them. It is also the worst Lib Dem percentage in the city. We've never quite made an impact there since the heady days of 1962 in Orpington.
Well, the Mayor of Cambridge, Councillor Robert Dryden, newly re-elected, spoke to Matt Webb.
What I want to do is do things for Cherington locally. I'm a local politician and I want to do things that makes things better for Cherington. We've got the recreation ground, we've got the what we're doing now with the new sports pavilion. Cherington Hall has got some money given to make that better. The High Street, I hope, is going to be better, and we're looking for people to consultation to tell us what they want us to do. There's money to do it, so we want to do it best.
I guess it kind of helps that his picture is in the paper every other day as well as mayor.
Robert's very much backed up what I was saying. It has a little bit of a separate identity, Cherry-Hinton, for the rest of the city. There's really nowhere else quite like it in that respect.
It's going to hear a little bit more from the mayor. He's going to be in with Steffi Callister on afternoons this afternoon, around about 2:30. So we'll have some more detail from him there. Our attention to Coleridge next for Labour. The victor, Rosie Moore, 60% of the vote. Samuel Barker for the Conservatives on just 15. And second place, oh, this is a good one, Raimundo Carlos, or Raimundo Leeson Carlos, to give him his full name, 10% for the Lib Dems. But his name is actually outdone by the Green Party candidate, Virgil Winhan Lerbino. Did I get that right? 8%.
I think it's Yerubino.
Yerubino. My normal trick with these things, say it quickly, then nobody will probably notice if you get it wrong. We'll just do it confidently. Bill Kabinski for UKIP on 7% there. Labour walkthrough again.
When they don't get themselves into a muddle, I think Labour always do well in Coleridge. It's got, I think, the highest proportion of pensioners in the city. And they're probably more favourable to Labour than the Tories these days. The Tories have won that seat in this century, but not very recently.
East Chesterton is next. Another Labour win, but not quite so easy for them. Marjorie Abbott on 42%. Shahida Rahman for the Lib Dems on 34%. Conservative Kevin Francis was 10%. Peter Birkinshaw for UKIP, 8%, and Jermaine Gow for the Green Party on 7%. That's a bit closer, and I noticed there was a little bit of a Lib Dem-Labour spat, actually, between Shahida Rahman of the Lib Dems and Jerry Bird, former mayor of Cambridge, and also represents Labour in that part of the world. I don't know, what do you think of these election spats, Colin?
I don't like them. It was used in the market campaign, and frankly, I don't think the public likes it either.
No, I suspect you're probably right there. That doesn't seem to stop people, sadly. Moving on, the last one of this little batch, because we'll save market for the start of our next run through. That's going to be a fun one, I think. Very quickly through King's Hedges, though. Nigel Gawthorpe, union activist, Labour, 54%. Hugh Newsom for the Lib Dems, 13%. David Corn, UKIP, 12%. Finishing equal with Annette Karimi for the Conservatives, 12%, and Angela Ditchfield for the Greens on just 8%. Angela had a little bit of local publicity as well. Mm. I think she was protesting at an arms fair in London. I think that case is, I think it's still ongoing to a certain extent, so I think it might be wise not to go much further on that. But again, Colin, Nigel doing very well for Labour.
It is. King's Hedges, I'm afraid, is bottom of the class for turnout in the city. You mentioned the overall figure of 40%. King's Hedges was just over 30%, and Abbey was close behind it at 32%. These are areas where turnout is often low. I think there wasn't much of an active campaign going on there. And if you look at the turnout figures and look at where the main fights were going on in the election, you can see a clear correlation.
A couple of interesting wards to talk about in a little while's time. Market, which has been won by the Lib Dems, Tim Bick, and quite an interesting one in Trumpington as well. Travellers next. We are the people of Empire of the Sun. Lee Chambers here at 10 o'clock today with Mid-Mornings, then Steffi Callister from 1, and then I'm back with 105 Drive between 4 and 6 tonight. I'll be bringing you the results of a couple of interesting elections we should have by then. First of all, the London mayoral election. I think that one's around about 4 o'clock. And then sort of 6-ish, I think, is when we're going to get the results of the police and crime commissioner election. It might be a bit earlier. We'll see. They're starting counting, at least on the Cambridge section of that, at about 12 noon today. It is now, though, at 9:42.
Cambridge 105 Travel.
With Wizpar, the social media and messaging app, where you're in control.
A14 westbound over the county line in Suffolk. We've got one lane closed, queuing traffic and very slow as well. Serious accident between the Rowley Mile services and Junction 36. That's Nine Mile Hill, so the A1303. But congestion on the A14, that's back to Junction 38, which is the A11. 1304 turning, several vehicles involved there, including a van and a motorbike, and we had the air ambulance on the scene a little earlier on. The A142 in Newmarket going south, there's queuing traffic there, as you might expect. The Exning Soham turn-off, also to Bury Road and the Old Station Road, and also southbound around Newmarket, it's queuing traffic on the A1304, that between A14 Junction 38 for the A11 and the Exeter Road and Old Station Road, so the A142 and B1063. Around the city, we're doing okay as it stands, no problems on the trains. Cambridge 105 Travel, where your next update is at 20 past 10 with the Reverend Lee Chambers.
Cambridge 105 Travel
with Wizpar, the social media and messaging app. For more details and a free account, visit wizpar.com.
Cambridge 105.
Busy week? Hectic Saturday? Why not tune in to the Sunday Breakfast Show from 8 a.m? Join me, Phil Rowe, to start the day with some relaxing tunes. Challenge the little grey cells with the now legendary Cambridge Quiz. Hear what's going on locally, nationally and internationally with our newspaper reviewer from our area. And listen to interviews with local people to find out what's happening in your local community. The Sunday Breakfast Show, a great way to start your day here on Community Radio in your city, Cambridge 105.
Hi, Susie Perry here. Things I love. Cars, tick. Gadgets for cars, tick. Digital radio, tick. With more digital radios and adapters now available, there's never been a better time to upgrade to digital radio. Any car can be converted, and if you're buying a car radio, look for the digital radio tick. It means you'll get all your available stations.
To find out how to get digital radio in your car, visit your local car dealer, car accessory retailer, or Halfords.
If you love radio, go digital.
I'm going to be supporting Armed Forces Day because I see the work our boys and girls are doing around the world and I really want to show my support.
I'll be supporting Armed Forces Day because I'm proud of what my granddad did in the war.
I'm supporting Armed Forces Day because it protects our way of life and I want them to be there to look after my grandchildren.
Armed Forces Day is Saturday the 25th of June. There are events going on all over the country. Take part and show your support for our armed forces, past and present. Find out more at armedforcesday.org.uk.
From Cambridge 105, this is Election Studio.
I'm Julian Clover, with you through until 10 o'clock this morning. Colin Rosensteel is with me as well, a former Lib Dem councillor in this city of ours and also an election archivist. And we're working our way through some of the wards in the city of Cambridge. And we've reached Market. Now, this is this was always going to be a fun one. Maybe not quite as fun as I was expecting, but a narrow victory for the Lib Dem leader on the city council, Tim Bick. 38%. Danielle Green for Labour, 35%. So just 3 percentage points between the two of them, or 60 votes. Stuart Tuckwood for the Greens, 20%. And Barney Baber for the Conservatives on 6%. What do you make of that one, Colin? That was pretty good, as you said earlier. Tim Bick, a strong campaigner for the Lib Dems.
I think a lot of people who may have voted Conservative in the past voted for Tim, and I think that's out of respect for his work as a local. They were the only candidates standing who actually live in the area. 60 votes in, by the standards of recent election, is a yawning chasm, actually. But
I guess it is. The last time around, it was four votes in it, wasn't it?
There was seven, yes. And we've had a majority of one in my time as well. This is the closest result in the city, but the main thing that tells us is that none of the results were that close this year. It's a very hard ward to read because of it has the highest proportion of students of any of the city's wards. It's over.
And the challenge of the Greens, do you think it's possible that for whatever reason they weren't able to get the student vote out? Because they won it last time, admittedly not by very much.
I think last time they benefited from the fact that people were splitting their vote with Julian Huppert. That happened in previous elections, parliamentary elections that Lib Dems have won, that the Greens got very heavily squeezed in the parliamentary election where clearly they weren't going to win. And I think to some extent the electorate compensated by giving them a vote they didn't give them this year.
All right. Newnham next, and Lucy Nethsinger for the Lib Dems, 43% for her. Ewan McGaughey for Labour, 36%. Julius Carrington, 11%. And Mark Slade for the Greens, 10%. I found Julius did the Cambridge Questions programme, as did Lucy, yeah. Funnily enough. We did a few months back. I found him quite impressive, but clearly that's not necessarily what the Newnham voters thought.
I think Julius put in an effort, and as you say, you had him on your debate programme, and was a strong candidate in many ways, but it shows the scale of the problem the Tories now face. Because the student vote often is more Tory than the residents, because they are people with national affiliations coming from all over the country, and not the world, and they've always done a bit better amongst students than they have amongst residents in the city centre areas. So it is disappointing for them. This is the ward that has now had the longest run without changing hands. The last person to be elected there who wasn't a Lib Dem was in 1996. And the next two in that league were Cherrington and Coleridge, which are Labour wards. And I did show this statistic to my colleagues before the election, so no pressure then. And Lucy's done well there.
Mm. Petersfield next is the ward that we broadcast from, and also the ward that I got to vote in yesterday afternoon. Not going to tell you how I voted, can't really do that. Richard Robertson, though, was the overall victor, 61% for Labour. Then it's one of these ones where way down. We've got Sharon Corr for the Green Party, 15%. Daniel Levy for the Lib Dems, 13%. Catherine Durrance for the Conservative, 10%. I'm tempted to say that the only person who really deserved to win was Richard Robertson, largely because that was the only representative that I, or a representative of him, not Richard himself, who knocked at my door during the campaign. I got a leaflet from the Greens and that was it.
This is a ward with a very long, in modern times, Labour history, and it's socially changed to what it was in the 60s, but it is now settled down. Until the Labour vote go on strike, as they did in 2010, then Labour lost. Even then, they only lost one of the two seats contested that year. This is a more typical result in years when the Labour voters are reasonably satisfied with the Labour Party.
Queen Edith's is another interesting one here. It's the only city council patch of the city which actually has a Conservative MP, because it falls under the South Cambridgeshire parliamentary constituency. And there it was the Lib Dem, Jennifer Croft, who took the seat, 43%. John Beresford for Labour and Cooperative, 29%. Manus Deb for the Conservatives, 20%. And Joel Chalfen for the Greens on 8%. That's a nice little win for the Lib Dems there.
They built up a strong team in Queen Edith's with one or two hiccups, including 4 years ago when, as part of an extraordinarily strong campaign, actually against Andrew Lansley, the aforementioned South Cambridgeshire MP of the time, over the NHS, caused a major upset. This has been otherwise Lib Dem in every election since 1994, apart from the 1996, when the last time a Tory was elected. This is a extraordinary result for a seat that used to be a safe Conservative ward. It explains their problem rather well.
Yeah, I guess so. Romsey next. Sophie Barnett for Labour, 50% from Catherine Smart for the Lib Dems, who was the incumbent there, 36%. Mm. Jane Carpenter for the Greens on 10%. Roy Barton for the Conservatives on 5%. And that's a pretty sweeping victory for Sophie. and a clear 14 percentage points ahead of her Lib Dem former councillor there, who was actually pretty good locally, I hear.
So Catherine Smart has been a tireless campaigner for Romsey going back to the early 90s, and she's been a councillor there for 18 years. So it's a very sad end to a very distinguished career for her, I think, and because she's one of our members who came in from trade union activity, actually. She was an official of the ATL Teachers Union and has really worked hard for Romsey. This is the first time since 1998 that Romsey hasn't all Labour councillors again, and which, of course, is the original tradition from when it was full of railwaymen.
I guess not. Sophie, by the way, my guest on 105 Drive at 4:30 tonight. Then that takes us to Trumpington. Well, what do we say there? Donald Aidey for the Lib Dems, 41%. Nick Gay, Labour, 26%. Shapur Mefta, the former Conservative councillor, reduced to just 23%. And Kerry Galloway for the Greens on 10%. Colin, for this one, you said earlier it's not the first time that the Conservatives have been wiped out, but one does tend to remember the last result.
This is a poor result, and I'm not sure quite what went wrong for the Conservatives to make them do quite so bad here. Trumpington's changing very rapidly. It's the amount of new housing.
Are there demographic issues at play here, do you think?
I think that's probably... The Lib Dems haven't suffered from it, but the Conservatives may well have done. From the incomers aren't particularly supportive of them. Donald is an experienced campaigner too. Donald was a councillor, county and district in Ely for some years before he came to Cambridge, and so this is a strong result for him. But it's also unsurprising given the history. All the other councillors in the ward for some time have been...
Yeah, so that's I guess that's probably it for the Conservatives for a while, potentially. Do you think that I guess statistically they'll come back eventually, but that doesn't seem to be any time soon?
On past form, where they come back is in the lap of the gods, really. I think their only recent successes this century have been in places where they've managed to find a local team that strikes it with the local electorate and raises their base vote.
Our final one on our list then, West Chesterton, Mike Sargent for Labour with 47% of the vote. Nicola Jane Harrison for the Lib Dems, another serial candidate, 38%. John Batchelor for the Greens on 7%. Simon Lee, he's the Conservative chairman in Cambridge, on 6%. And Celia Conway for UKIP on 3%. I guess Nicola for the Lib Dems could have expected to do. I guess I described her as a serial candidate. I think the same could be said for Mike Sargent.
Mike Sargent wins tonight. Last night's Perpetual Triers Prize. This is his ninth attempt, and he's finally got elected at that. It happened in Market Ward back in the 80s when I actually lost my seat to somebody who stood, I think, six times before he finally made it. So nine times is quite a good... He definitely wins a prize for persistence there. Nicola has actually been a councillor in West Chesterton for 2 years in the past as well. There is some social change going on here. You wouldn't believe from the figures that this was once a safe Conservative seat until 1982, and they got 6%. So it isn't the war.
82 is a long time away. I was doing my O levels in 1982.
Exactly, but this is the site of the election result with a majority of one that year. So it's been very close in the past. But all one must pay tribute to Mike Sargent for the persistence that's enabled him to break through at last.
Yeah, well, congratulations to all of the candidates. Colin, in just a few words, can you sum up the election result overnight, which has seen the Labour Party increase their hold on Cambridge City Council?
Where the campaigning was most intense, and the highest turnout in the whole city was in that last ward, West Chesterton, over 52%. Clearly, it does persuade people to come out and vote. Where there's not the campaigning on the ground, as I'm afraid is a consequence of our first-past-the-post voting system, the turnout was 20% lower than that. Well, enthusiasm does have its benefits for all concerned.
OK, well, thank you very much indeed, Colin. The Reverend Lee Chambers is next door. And it's like, I think she is, because there's a banner in the way. Are you ready for us after 10 o'clock? Hello? Oh, she's just hurrying up there.
Hello.
Hello, yes, that's
yes.
It, sorry.
I was late because I was picking you up a sandwich.
That's very kind, thank you. I haven't had breakfast. It's going to head for the second consecutive day when I hadn't had breakfast.
Yeah, I couldn't see. I couldn't let that happen, so, yes.
Breakfast? Luxury.
Luxury. What have we got coming up after 10?
Oh, well, I'll be here with you. We're talking election, aren't we? And we've got guests at 10:30. Lewis Herbert is coming in. He's the city council leader. And then at 12:30, Stuart Tuckwood. Is he still coming in?
I haven't heard otherwise from him.
He was the Green candidate for Market. So, two political guests just to review and cogitate on the night's results.
It's always been one of my favourite words, cogitate.
Okay. I got it. All right, OK.
Lee Chambers, after the news. We'll see you later. Thanks for listening.
Bye.